So the reading is Exodus 16, the whole chapter. The whole Israel, page 76, for those looking down. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim, and on the 15th day of the second month after they had left Egypt, they came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. There in the desert, they all complained to Moses and Aaron and said to them, "We wish that the Lord had killed us in Egypt. There we could have at least sit down and eat meat and as much other food as we wanted. But you have brought us out here into this desert to starve us all to death." The Lord said to Moses, "Now I am going to make food rain down from the sky for all of you. The people must go out every day and gather enough for that day. In this way I can test them to find out if they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are going to bring in twice as much as usual and prepare it." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "This evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. In the morning you will see the dazzling light of the Lord's presence. He has heard your complaints against him, yes, against him, because we are only carrying out his instructions." Then Moses said, "It is the Lord who will give you meat to eat in the evening and as much bread as you want in the morning, because he has heard how much you have complained against him. When you complain against us, you are really complaining against the Lord." Moses said to Aaron, "Tell the whole community to come and stand before the Lord, because he has heard their complaints." As Aaron spoke to the whole community, they turned towards the desert, and suddenly the dazzling light of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the complaints of the Israelites. Tell them that at twilight they will have meat to eat, and in the morning they will have all the bread they want. Then they will know that I, the Lord, am their God." In the evening, a large flock of quails flew in, enough to cover the camp, and in the morning there was dew all around the camp. When the dew evaporated, there was something thin and flaky on the surface of the desert. It was as delicate as frost. When the Israelites saw it, they didn't know what it was and asked each other, "What is this?" Moses said to them, "This is the food that the Lord has given you to eat. The Lord has commanded that each of you is to gather as much of it as he needs, 2 liters for each member of his household." The Israelites did this, some gathering more, others less. When they measured it, those who had gathered more did not have too much, and those who had gathered less did not have too little. Each had gathered just what he needed. Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it for tomorrow." But some of them did not listen to Moses and saved part of it. The next morning it was full of worms and smelt rotten, and Moses was angry with them. Every morning each one gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, what was left on the ground melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much food, 4 liters for each person. All the leaders of the community came and told Moses about it, and he said to them, "The Lord has commanded that tomorrow is a holy day of rest dedicated to him. Bake today what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Whatever is left should be put aside and kept for tomorrow." As Moses had commanded, they kept what was left until the next day. It did not spoil or get worms in it this time. Moses said, "Eat this today, because today is the Sabbath, a day of rest dedicated to the Lord, and you will not find any food outside the camp. You must gather food for 6 days, but on the seventh day, the day of rest, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather food, but they did not find any. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How much longer will your people refuse to obey my commands? Remember that I, the Lord, have given you a day of rest, and that is why on the sixth day I will always give you enough food for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day and not leave his home." so the people do not work on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the food manna, and it was like a small white seed and tasted like biscuits made with honey. Moses said, "The Lord has commanded us to save some manna to be kept for our descendants, so that they can see the food which he gave us to eat in the desert when he brought us up out of Egypt." Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar, put 2 liters of manna in it, and place it in the Lord's presence to be kept for our descendants." As the Lord had commanded Moses, Aaron put it in front of the covenant box so that it could be kept. The Israelites ate manna for the next 40 years until they reached the land of Canaan, where they settled. The standard dry measure then in use equaled 20 litres.
Thank you, Beth. Let us pray. Provider God, some of these Israelites gathered in faith and morning by morning had all they needed. But others sought to gather and store so that they could control your provision and use it at a time and in a way of their own choosing. And it became full of maggots. Faithful God, help us to trust in your provision and not try and treat it as our possession. Be in my speaking and in all our listening and responding, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The title that I've given to this sermon is St. James Church. God's provision or our possession? The last 2 Sundays we've participated together in a discussion about our future vision, especially in relation to what we do with our buildings. And what I have witnessed during these two times of discussion is a community of people. All of us here at St. James, who call St. James Church our home, who care deeply about who we are as a community of Jesus in this place, who care deeply about our witness in the wider community, and who care deeply about how all this relates to our current buildings. And I've also witnessed respectful, heartfelt, well-considered conversation and relational interactions. And I take all of these things to be very, very positive signs. I know many have been frustrated that things seem to be moving so slowly around this issue. 3 years ago or so, when Richard presented to us the various quotes that he had received in relation to repairing the roof leak, I had assumed that this would all be accepted as a straightforward and obvious thing to do. However, a significant number amongst us spoke against this and voted against this, saying we need to think more deeply about this question. Spending large sums of money to fix the roof risks locking us into this location and into this way of being church for another generation. And although I was quite taken by surprise by this, I very much value the theological thinking and faith that motivated these things. And what I want to emphasize now is that we should not think that this agonizing we have been through as a congregation over the last 3 years as a result of all this has been a complete waste of time. I believe that the process in coming to a decision is every bit as important as the decision itself. And I believe that our being stirred in our spirits over this issue and our doing our very human best to hear and to understand the different perspectives that people have shared in relation to all this. This deeply fraught question that confronts us, this is something we need to really value. And this is because when we do come to a decision, it will be one that we understand much more clearly. It will be one that we cherish much more dearly as we seek to follow Jesus more nearly. Last week, as part of this discussion, Marie asked a question, does our insurance cover the damage caused by all this leaking that has gone on here for so long? And the answer was no. Insurance only covers damage caused by an event, not by an ongoing process. And this morning I would like for us to think about what an event is. A 660 concert at Eden Park is an event. An Anzac Day dawn ceremony is an event. A landslip at the back of a church hall is an event. The Olympic Games is an event. The COVID-19 pandemic is an event. The manna that God caused to fall as dew upon the ground morning by morning was an event. An event is something that ordinary people can't normally cause to happen. Rather, it's something that happens in our midst, sometimes on account of the will of powerful others, and sometimes, as the insurance people often say, as an act of God. And it's something that we may or may not participate in. After an event has run its course, we're left with two things: memories and memorabilia. Memorabilia are the bits of evidence that bear witness to the fact that the event happened. The various relics that remind us that, yeah, this thing really did happen. The songs that just don't get out of our head. The poppies. The debris. The medals. The gravestones. The manna preserved in the jar for future generations of Israelites to marvel at. The purpose of memorabilia is to aid memory, lest we forget. But only memory. Memorabilia can only ever remind us that an event once happened. It can never reincarnate or resurrect the event or become a substitute for the event. All that relics and memorabilia can ever do is remind us that an event once happened and that perhaps we were part of it. The revelation of God is an event. Jesus says to Nicodemus in John 3:7, "Do not be surprised, because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going." It's like that with everyone who was born of the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit of God is an event. We can't make it happen to us. It's something that only God can make happen. God certainly calls us to be willing and active and glad participants in the event of his revelation. But it is never something that we can cause to happen. This is why it's so foolish to say no to God. Why it's so foolish for us to experience the event of the living God impressing himself upon our psyches and upon our spirits and speaking to our souls on a night that we just can't sleep. And then for us to say, no, God, it doesn't actually suit me today to respond to the event of your revelation. This is utter foolishness and presumption. It's simply impossible for us to say, I'll respond to the call of God next Sunday or next year or next whenever. This is foolishness and presumption because the wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from, and nor do you know when it might come next. The truth is, none of us have any assurance that the wind of God's Spirit will blow for us at some future time we may consider more convenient. We have no assurance concerning our future state of heart or mind or soul, nor do we have any assurance concerning our future state of body either. The manna that God provided for the Israelites in the wilderness was an event. The Israelites certainly couldn't cause it to happen. All they could do was to participate in it. To faithfully say yes to God. And then gratefully and gladly gather the manna morning by morning. Our reading from Exodus 16 highlights, I believe, three things concerning the event of the revelation and the provision of God. Firstly, some of them tried to gather more than they needed and some gathered less. But in the end of all this human gathering, what they discovered was that each person had what they needed. And this means that in the event of God's provision, we can neither extract more from God than God wishes to provide. And nor will we miss out if our gathering skills aren't as skillful as the gathering skills of others. So long as we just say yes to God and participate gladly in the event of his revelation. Secondly, some tried to store it up for future use, but it became full of worms and began to stink. And this means that if we try to treat the revelation and the provision of God not as an event, but as something that we can actually control and possess, there will come a time when it turns to maggots and stinks. And it may be we are the last to know this. And thirdly, after the morning had passed, the ungathered manna melted in the sun. And this means that God intends the event of his provision to be new to us, morning by morning, so that we will put our trust in God's provision and not in our ability to store and control. And so what this means is that God does not want us to treat his provision as though it is our possession. St. James Church is an event. People often talk about the church when they really mean, or at least should mean, the building that the church often gathers in Sunday by Sunday. And the truth is that unless God, morning by morning, stirs our hearts by his Holy Spirit and creates within us the desire to want to gather together, as our St. James Church vision statement says, God has called St. James to be a community gathered around Jesus Christ and enabled by God's Holy Spirit to participate in the worship of God and the work of his kingdom. Unless God is at work in all this, morning by morning, then the truth is that St. James Church does not exist. All that exists is memories and memorabilia, relics, such as buildings and Bibles and baptistries that remind us that at some time in the past, the revelation of God happened in this place. Unless God, morning by morning, by his Holy Spirit, stirs our hearts and stirs our desire to want to gather, to participate in the worship and the witness of God here in this place and in the work of his kingdom out in the wider community, all that really exists is a club, a religious club engaging in rituals, all the while kidding itself that it's the church of the living God. And even our turning up can't make the event of God's church in this place happen. This is because the wind blows wherever it wishes. We can hear the sound of it, but we have no clue where it comes from or where it might come, when it might come next. This is what it's like with everyone who is born of the Spirit, and it's what it's like with every church that is born of the Spirit also. And so what I believe we must understand is that St. James Church here in New Plymouth is an event of God that God calls into being morning by morning by his faithfulness and provision. It's not something that we can make happen by our ability to gather and store, by our ability to repair roofs, by our ability to preach sermons and sing songs and pray prayers. It's not something that we can treat as our possession, that we are the ones who control. Now, St. James Church vision statement says, God has called St. James to be a community gathered around Jesus Christ and enabled by God's Holy Spirit to participate in the worship of God and the work of his kingdom. And what this means is that our worship and our work is something that we do in response to the movement of God's Spirit within us and amongst us here in this place. Something that God alone can do. Nevertheless, our faithful and willing and active and glad response to the event of God's revelation is so very important. And so from our human side, our gathering together to worship and participate in the word of God's kingdom has to be something that we do consciously and intentionally. It's an activity on our part that we need to be deliberate about. Something that we need to prepare for. Let me ask you this. Do you prepare yourself to worship God? Do you prepare yourself to be part of the event of God's church morning by morning? Our preparation and in anticipation of participating in the event of God and our worship and witness can be as simple as each one of us praying morning by morning. God, by the enabling of your Holy Spirit that blows where it wishes, help me and help us all to worship you and to bear faithful witness to you this day. Help me and help us all to be still and to know that you are God. Help me and help us all to hear and joyfully respond to your living word, Jesus Christ. At the heart of our preparation and for worship and witness, that is at the heart of our preparation for the event of the revelation of God, in which God gathers us together and constitutes us yet again as St. James Church, is not our thinking that we can make this happen by our religious efforts. Rather, it is us faithfully and humbly and confidently making ourselves available to God in faith, hope and love, and our praying that God by his Holy Spirit will cause it to happen yet again. And then us, morning by morning, gratefully and gladly participating in the event of God's church here in this place. And it is my conviction, therefore, that it is only from out of this context that our doing what we need to do to fix a leaking roof or whatever it is that we choose to do has any kind of sustainable viability in the purposes of God. Let us pray. Provider God, may the wind of your Spirit continue to blow in this place, here at St. James Church. Help us never to presume that it is we who control or possess the event of your revelation. Rather, help us to be grateful and joyful participants. Help us to prepare ourselves in faith, hope and love for the event of your revelation morning by morning. Help us never to think that the relics and the memorabilia that have been gathered in this place can ever be a substitute for the event of your revelation and provision, and help us to never become a club that simply engages in religious rituals that suit our personal preferences. We thank you, Provider God, that you are indeed faithful, that you sustain and uphold your church here at St. James by your Holy Spirit, morning by morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.